Good morning, Miss Karen.
Good morning, y'all.
Glad to have you here, Miss Karen, with us from over at Oakley Village, Positive Points on Aging. Really appreciate you swinging on by and saying hello to us.
It's good to be here.
We always enjoy the segment, although sometimes it's difficult topics that we discuss, but necessary topics. And that's, I think if people understand where we're coming at this from, what we're trying to do is there's no good way to talk about what you're dealing with when you're having pain about someone with dementia.
Correct.
There's no happy way to address dementia. There's coping mechanisms.
There's coping skills.
Right. And so that's what we're trying to do with some of these topics. And there's other things that we talk about that do have much more rah-rah to them. But in the case of a lot of these things with dementia, they're hard topics, but they're necessary topics, especially with where we're going as a society, because the number of folks with dementia and with Alzheimer's, it's still skyrocketing.
It's just getting higher and higher every day.
It really is. So today, let's talk a little bit about money issues when it comes to people with dementia, because my goodness, think of the danger.
The danger and the challenges that you run into. And it's not just folks with dementia. Let's be honest. It could be any senior citizen. Nobody wants to lose control of their funds. There's two of the hardest things we deal with in my industry is taking away car keys and then saying, Mom, I really need to have access to your checkbook.
Yeah.
Right.
Nobody likes it.
No.
Because first off, that means that you're going to have to admit you might have a problem.
Yeah,
and it may not be a dementia problem. It could be an eyesight problem. It could just be a lot of things. But dementia makes it even worse. And sometimes people, it is one of the first signs that you notice of somebody with dementia when they start having money problems.
Wow.
And you don't think about it, but your dad has always been able to balance his checkbook, and now you're starting to see checkbook errors. Now, I have to be honest. There are some things I'm good at, and there's some things I'm bad at. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to checking accounts and paying bills and doing tips, anything with numbers in it, I have dyslexia, so I tend to get everything all whacked out. So I have to think about that before I say this to anybody. Please remember your parents' limitations.
Sure.
I'm saying this to my children who might be listening.
So well, I'm sitting over here thinking, like, wow, if bad with money is a sign of dementia, I am in trouble.
Yeah, so am I. Like I said, if I don't have all my shoes off and my fingers out, I don't count well.
But if it was something they were good at before, something they were able to keep track of before, and now you can see those skills starting to slip a little bit, that's when, I mean, I've just never been good at it, so that's not going to be an indicator for me. But
you know what's funny? Like when Phil's mother was progressing through her disease with dementia, one of the things that she would always say is, bring me the checkbook.
Really?
And she'd want it because she always kept the checkbook and she wanted to see it. And honest to goodness, that was probably one of the last skills she lost because she could balance that checkbook in a heartbeat.
Right.
So you have to think about these things.
Not a one size fits all.
No.
That's right.
No.
And have we ever said that in dementia before?
No, sure. That's what makes it so challenging is everybody's experience is different.
Yeah, but just remember, if you start seeing little things like that, that you might want to start talking, having conversations with your parents. And it can be both parents. If you're lucky enough to have both folks still alive or together, it could be a conversation that you have to sit down and say, okay, I'm noticing that the bills aren't being paid. They're stacked up over here on the table. That says to me that you're ignoring them because you don't want to deal with it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't like to deal with things we can't handle. So we just stick them to the side and maybe they'll come back. This is one you don't think about, but oftentimes people with dementia start purchasing. There's a feel-good side of purchasing things. Not for me. I hate buying stuff, just for the record. But for
but
a lot of people,
an endorphin rush.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. I think it's an endorphin rush to QVC or Amazon or whatever it is to go out there and put stuff on that credit card and have it delivered to your front door and you haven't even had to leave the house. Even if you can't drive, it's coming to you anyway.
I have a friend who gets excited when she comes home and there's Amazon packages on her front doorstep and she's forgotten that she bought these things for herself. And she's like, oh my God, I have presents.
There's things here.
But there's something to what you're saying, though, because you're talking about some people who are trained, the QVC workers, they're trained to recognize, oh, I got a live one here.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but it is what it is. I mean, they're there to sell.
Yeah. Well, the programming quality is aimed at a specific audience, too.
Right.
It's at people who are homebound, who this is might be their connection to, you know, to
it's
retail.
The only way to shop.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's an endorphin rush. So if you start seeing a lot of new stuff, and particularly unopened boxes, you know, Mom forgot she ordered stuff, and she just sticks that to the side with the bills. Think about it. And this is one that you really need to pay attention to. Please get a hold of the checking account and make sure that money's not missing. people are out there to scam your parents at any age and at all times. I mean, what was several years ago that we were all getting phone calls about your grandson's in Istanbul looking for money and he's going to never make it home if you don't send $10,000.
Oh, they're calling, pretending to be the IRS now and saying that you owe back taxes and that
and
kind of thing.
And it's IRS season, so of course, that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm really excited to find out about my cousin in Nigeria. Because I didn't know I had a cousin
in
Nigeria.
And your inheritance.
And my inheritance. Yeah. All I have to do is send him $10,000, and then he's going to send me $2
million. Yeah.
Isn't that nice of him?
Because he's just such a nice cousin that I've never met in Nigeria.
Right. Yeah. So you just have to pay the transaction fee.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And instead really, of being $10, it's $10,000.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, come on.
But looking for irregularities in your parents' spending is a good idea.
And in their habits. Mm-hmm. Whatever their habits are, you know, it just pay attention. That's all I'm asking you to do is pay attention.
They're very set in their ways usually. Yes. And so when it's not that hard to see when something is really not jiving with what you're used to.
I think the biggest key, though, is like unopened bills. That's really something that most people, even if you're not the person in the house that writes a check for the bill or you have an automatic draft for those bills, you still open them and look at them. If they're not doing that, there's probably a reason for that. Of course, if you're like me, you don't want to look at them anyway.
I know. Over here, like, do you actually really open them when you know you don't have any money, or do you wait till payday and open them all at the same time?
All at the same time. And, well, that can happen too. But this point of all this, joking aside, is to have a conversation with your loved one.
Yeah, of course.
Because, again, they're not going to generally broach this conversation nicely. It could come on as a hard sell, but you need to be able to start this conversation and say, let me just come in once a week and we'll sit down and go through your mail. And make sure you're not getting scam mail and make sure that you're paying your heating and air bill and make sure that you don't have a card from Aunt Susie. And let's just go through it all together and then you will have your eyes on it.
Yeah.
And then also set up an automatic billing system. Sometimes that's an easier thing to do. And then when you are sitting down to look at the invoices with your parents, you can say, oh, Mom, I see that you spent XYZ on your credit card this month. Why did you spend that money? I see it's been paid. And that's good, but why did you spend all that?
Yeah.
And how else do you manage your money? Yeah, because as seniors, we always hear that seniors are on fixed incomes. So you want them to manage those fixed incomes and stay off the QVCs and the Amazons and pay attention to where every dollar is going, because we all know inflation's killing everybody right now.
Right.
The cost of food is crazy. So you want them spending money on food, not on Christmas gifts for Aunt Susie or the cousin in Nigeria. Got to pay attention to all that stuff.
The cousin in Nigeria. I mean, would you send that guy a Christmas gift?
It's a good guy. Sending me $2 million.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Because you mentioned that thing about automating some of these. Is there a way for, so a kid can, or a, you know, an adult child can set up these online billing accounts for their parents, and then they would have those logins and passwords and visibility to make sure that those accounts are being paid, right?
You do, but there's a little hiccup here, and you got to remember, A, you got to make sure your parents are on board with that.
Right.
And do you have power of attorney?
Right.
Do you have financial power of attorney to have the access to all this stuff? Because you've got to protect your loved one. And banks kind of have an obligation to help protect your loved one.
Sure.
Right.
Because unfortunately, there are some stinker kids out there, too.
Oh, yeah.
That plenty of steel.
Yeah, and so the bank needs to be able to hold a document in their hand and say, okay, you do have power of attorney. Your mother's sitting here and says, okay, you can have access to my credit account and my cards and all that stuff.
Right.
So make sure that that's okay. And you need to start the conversation about financial and healthcare power of attorneys long before you need them. Because the last thing you want is your mother to have a diagnosis on record, on file somewhere, that she's got dementia. And now you're trying to start this process.
Right.
It's a whole lot uglier to have to go that way than if you do it long before the diagnosis is hit. And if you think at any point your mother might have a problem, go ahead and push that envelope before the diagnosis gets publicly put on all her records and everything.
That's a game changer.
Yeah, it is definitely a game changer. That.
Well, we are moving right along. 8:44 our time. Going to get you the Fox Business Report coming your way in just a little while. In studio with us, Miss Karen from over at Oakleaf Village in Lexington. She's here with us from now until 9 o'clock. Wants you to pay attention. We're talking about things that might not be easy to talk about, but they're necessary. More coming up on The Point.
Mornings with Kev. Fire. Fireside Studio.
It's Kevin Cohen.
Welcome back in on A Point. We got the boss on the radio. We got the boss of Positive Points on Aging, Miss Karen, here with us. She is the authority. The authority.
Most times.
Yeah, you know your stuff.
I know some stuff.
We're very fortunate to have you and appreciate our partnership with you and our friends at over at Oakley Village in Lexington. So today we've been focusing on the finances and making sure we're staying on top of the finances with our older adults, with our seniors, with our parents, with especially those that are showing signs of slipping a little bit.
Yes.
That's really where it can get out of hand real quickly.
Yes, and it certainly can. And here's one thing we didn't talk about. We talked about getting the power of attorney on your parents and the healthcare power of attorney. Maybe your mom doesn't trust you. Maybe that's right, justifiable. I don't know. But if that's the case, then find a legal representative. Have somebody, an attorney, a banker, a church person, somebody that you know that your mother will trust.
Right.
And I use your mother because that's just a generic term for me, but it could be your dad. Your dad's probably a whole lot tighter fisted taking care of money than your mom was. So it just whoever they will trust, because that's what you're trying to build here is trust with your loved one in an area where trust is not normally found. And with a disease that makes people paranoid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's something else to remember. People with dementia start getting scared because they realize they don't know what they're missing, and they don't trust people anymore. You know, you could be lying.
These legal documents, the power of attorney, right, having that healthcare provider power of attorney, these conversations are hard, right, to sit down with your – and at what point do you think we should – at what point do adult children say? Is it after we're starting to see symptoms, after you're starting to see slippage, or is it well ahead of time? Like, hey, I just want to get ahead of the curve. Like, could that conversation be easier if there isn't something immediately pressing, right? We're
absolutely
not moving into a crisis.
Yeah.
Everything's fine right now. So let's have the conversation early so that when the crisis does come, we don't have to deal with this piece of it because instead we can deal with the crisis.
Crisis never make anything good.
Right.
They always make everything much worse, and people are, your emotions are on edge, everything's worse. However, and you know, I am a person who, as I told somebody yesterday, I'm like, take charge, fix it, I'm going to do it, bull in a china shop. Doesn't always work that way.
No.
Right.
I mean, my father-in-law died saying, no, my son cannot do that because he was, at 94, he was perfectly capable of doing his finances, but he was not going to let anybody else have control and enact that power of attorney because
right.
he wanted control. It created some problems. And you should not, just think about it, folks. Your kids aren't here, shouldn't be here to take your money or to force you in an institution or to do all these things. They're doing it because they care.
You hope that's the reason, yeah.
Yeah.
And that is the reason most times.
Most times. Have you ever tried to do your own finances and then somebody else's?
Yeah.
It's a nightmare doing your own.
Right, it's
challenging.
And
then you add
sure.
somebody else's on top of it. And sometimes it's two or three. I mean, I know people whose parents are divorced, and so they're doing their mom's
yeah.
and their dad's and their own and maybe their kids. And it's crazy. Nobody in their right mind really wants to do all that. So
right.
just remember that usually most times people are doing it for a good reason and a good cause.
Well, and again, if here's one thing that you taught me back when we were talking, we did a show on taking the keys away when it comes
yeah.
to driving. If you're not comfortable having this talk, call the doctor.
Call somebody.
Call someone's someone that she's been my doctor for 18 years.
Yep.
He's been my doctor for 26 years. If Dr. So-and-so that has been his doctor for all these years says, listen, I really think it'd be a good idea for this, let him be the bad guy, if air quotes bad guy.
If they will.
If they will. And a lot of them will.
And a lot of them
will. That kind of family relationship with
yep.
him for all those years. They recognize this is what's going on. Again, it all comes down to, are you a caring kid? Are you the one that's been taking your
right.
dad or your mom to their appointments for 5 years? The doctor knows you, too.
The doctor knows
you,
and
exactly.
they know whether you're going after the money or
right.
not. They're not
exactly.
blind,
exactly.
usually. I mean,
right.
most times they
their
are.
Their first job is to protect their patient.
Right.
But at the same time, if they know you and there's a good family relationship, they're probably going to be willing to help you have that talk.
And isn't that part of the protection of their clients.
Right.
I mean, I could see it. If you have been taking your parents to their appointments and if you have been that involved in their health care for this amount of time, it probably that's not the relationship that's going to have the challenge with this conversation. Right. Like it's the I think it's the earlier it's well before they ever get into any kind of crisis or any kind of health care where they need you at all. Right now, they don't need you at all, in which case, like now's the time.
Yeah.
Get that power of attorney lined up just so that and they probably have friends that have had these experiences and you can have that conversation. Like, hey, mom, remember what happened to your Bible study friend, Pam, and how that was so challenging for her and her daughter? I don't want to have that with you. Like, maybe you and I can work on that a little earlier and then we can avoid what happened with Pam and her daughter.
It's better to be proactive than reactive.
Absolutely.
Right. And that's what I always say. But again, it's still difficult. Parents don't want to let go. They might put the paperwork into play. And they might have the paperwork signed, but they may not put it into play.
Right.
They don't want to enact the power of attorney and say, okay, well, I want you to go ahead and start looking at my checkbook. Sometimes it's a legal representative. Maybe their tax person.
Their financial advisor.
Or their financial advisor start seeing mistakes. And they're the ones that need to say, okay, I've noticed your checkbook isn't balancing. I noticed your tax returns are off a little bit. Let's talk to somebody to get some help.
Sure.
The other thing I want to touch base real quick with when we're talking about money is we hit this earlier, but it's fraud and abuse. You really don't have a cousin in Nigeria, Kev.
No.
I don't know how to tell you
that.
I really don't, but I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, good news. You're off the hook for Christmas gifts.
That's
there
right.
So there's that.
There you go.
So there's that.
Or Hanukkah gifts. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in Nigeria celebrating Hanukkah.
I was going to say, there's quite a few of those.
Yeah.
But identity theft, you know, Social Security, your mother may not pay any attention to when she's buying on Amazon or whatever and sticks that number right out there and everybody grabs it. And identity theft is something that happens very subtly, and they may not take thousands and thousands of dollars. They may be taking 50 and 100 here and there. So pay attention to what's going on that way. The get-rich-quick offers we talked about. Phone calls, you know, those phone calls that I need money. Don't listen to those people, please. Insurance scams and people who come to your house and say, oh, I noticed that your roof looks like it needs to be repaired.
Mm-hmm.
How many times after hailstorms and bad
windstorms?
Oh, yeah,
those door knockers.
Yeah, they're scary people, and they get people all the time.
You betcha.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to two things on that really quickly. Like, number one, the bank, you mentioned this before. The bank has things in place where they'll alert you if there are strange charges or two charges of the same type on a website you've never bought from before. These kinds
or
of things.
From
like
other cities or something.
So that's an easy entry conversation to be like, hey, mom, my bank does this for me. Does your bank do this for you? How do they alert you? Do they text you? Do they call you? Like, we were out to lunch. My mom and I were out to lunch, and her bank called her and said, like, hey, we just saw this $90 charge whatever at a place you've never been before. My mom's like, oh yeah, my daughter and I are at lunch together, right? Like,
oh, that's interesting.
But I mean, the idea that there are those kinds of things are in place by some banks, and just being able to say to mom, like, hey, I've got these in place, maybe you could as well. And then the door knockers, we were just talking about that, giving your parents the vocabulary to say to how to let those people off the hook, right? Like, hey, you don't have to hide from them, right? But I'm not interested in what you're selling, like this.
But don't
kind of
answer the door if you don't know people. I mean, let's be basic, and that's basic simple.
Basic safety.
Yeah. Right there. Don't answer a door if you don't know somebody.
If people want more information, what do they do?
Call me at 803-808-3477 or oakleafvillagelexington.com.
Thank you, Ms. Karen.
Thank you, guys.
Karen.
Stay safe out there.
For sure. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Casey. Great job from you. Thank you, Karen. I'm Kev. We'll see everybody at 4 o'clock this afternoon for the afternoon drive on the point.
Mornings with Kev.